Wow, it's good to be back here at Emmanuel. I've been coming to Emmanuel for now 15 years. And God has been so good between our partnership for the last 10 years of serving the people of Rwanda. Today, I want to bring greetings to you from 8,000 children who are sponsored through Africa New Life Ministries. And a little bit over 400 of those are sponsored by Emmanuel Bible Church here. I also want to bring greetings to you from 300 people who serve with African New Life Ministries in Rwanda full-time, ministering to the needs of the children and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And out of our partnership, amazing things have happened. Churches have been planted. Africa College of Theology is a growing college training pastors in Rwanda. Now we have students from Congo, from Burundi, from Uganda, from Kenya, and now we have a student from Nigeria, from West Africa, and that continues to grow and expand. And we want to thank you for your partnership and your prayers. And very special thanks to a number of your medical doctors here who have been coming to Rwanda for many, many years. Not only coming to Rwanda, but bringing children from Rwanda here to the U.S. to get medical care. And out of that partnership, this coming February, a hospital will be completed, the process of construction. A hospital of 45 beds, three different surgery rooms, theaters, different offices for the doctors and emergency dentistry. The doctors know all the language, which I can't speak, the hospital language. It's an amazing place. And after the completion, we'll start the process of opening the hospital. So thank you so much for your prayers, for your partnership in the ministry over there in Rwanda. God continues to bless us, and he continues to expand the ministry. There are more children. Today, I came with more children who need sponsors. If you are new to Emmanuel, we have a number of children out there who are waiting to be sponsored. If God has blessed you with more resources, remember to take more kids. We want to get more children in Rwanda sponsored and blessed. Today, I want to bring a message. And I want to bring this message from the book of Psalms. I love the book of Psalms, and especially Psalms chapter 23. And chapter 23 is an amazing chapter. I think the last verse of the Psalms. And today, I want to preach verse 4. But to be able to do justice to the text, I want to read really from verse 1. And listen from verse 1. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, and he guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." Man, by just reading that piece, it brings a sense of calmness and peace and trust that we have a good God. And our Lord is our shepherd. He tends us. He takes care of us. He puts us in a position that he provides for us. He sets us in green pastures. He restores us when we need restoration after we've gone through harsh moments of life. David had so many challenges in his life. And I love how he says in verse 4, He begins and says, even though, so many things have happened. And then he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though I go through one crisis into another crisis, enemies surround me, and I have these near-death experiences in my life, and I can see the shadow of death near me, Dev says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David had crisis moments after crisis moment. He encountered so many challenges in his life. He had so many valley experiences and near-death experiences. Some of you here, survivors of war, bullets or accidents, you understand what it means to have a near-death experience. And Dave says, I trust God is going to help me through my circumstances. You know, this morning, as I was looking at the video of the persecuted Christians, in many ways, I identified with them. When I became a Christian, I was the only Christian on my entire village. And I would walk from my village across a big valley and climb on another hill to find a pastor and to attend a church. It was a very hard time. I remember coming back to my village. Dad did not believe what I'm doing. The villagers didn't believe what I am doing. The rest of other kids, friends of mine, just couldn't get it. I stopped playing soccer because they were laughing at me of becoming a Christian. Few months later, a number of kids came and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. Things started changing. My brothers gave their lives to Christ. My sisters gave their lives to Christ. My cousins gave their lives to Christ. God is a good God. Out of our own challenges, He can bring so many to faith. My first pastoral work was in Uganda on the lakeside, Lake Victoria in Gaba. What a terrible place. That place was covered with so many witch doctors. And there was a fierce anger against the preaching of the gospel. We were planting the first church in that area. We are persecuted in every way, including the Marines. We are on the lakeside, and these guys didn't understand what we are doing by praying at night and talking about this Christian God who saves and performs miracles and changes lives. Now, I remember the night they came and took us out of the church and actually beat us up. I mean, we were being beaten for the sake of the gospel, told us to stop praying. We stopped only one Friday. The following Friday, we appeared and started praying again. A few months later, the Secretary of Defense gave his life to Jesus Christ. And today, as I speak, there is a church of over 2,000 people. Schools started, churches planted, lives changed and transformed. I just love the way Brother Dev looks at life. So today I want to go back to my text. And I want to read my text again. The Bible says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Dave made three choices best in this text. You know, when you have a crisis, you don't have many options. You don't have many options to choose. So I want to narrow them to three. Number one, choose faith instead of fear. Choose faith instead of fear. He said, I'll fear no evil. I choose to trust in God instead of fearing evil. David says, I choose to put my faith in the living God. I will not fear. One of the major strategies of the enemy is to instill fear in the hearts of believers so that they cannot take a stand for God. But we stand in faith and take a stand for Jesus. And he says, even thy walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what shall I do? He says, I will walk. I love his actions. He decides to walk, not to run through the valley. You know, many times when we have a crisis, we panic. We run. We don't know what to do because we're acting in fear. Fear leads to running. The guy says, I'm not going to run. I'm not going to fear. I am going to walk. I am going to be calm, and I'm going to deliberately make steps through the valley with no intimidation of the enemy. He says, I am not going to be afraid. In other words, he makes a choice. It's a deliberate choice. The whole idea of being a Christian of faith is a choice you make, and you can choose to make that choice today. And he says, make a choice. I'm not going to run. I'm going to trust in God, and God is going to come out for me, and God is going to do miracles. God is going to do great things. God is going to protect me, and God is going to take me through this crisis moment in my life. I have faith in him. Let me tell you this morning, I exactly don't understand how non-believers survive. I've been a Christian since I was 17 years of age. Over 30 years of my life, I have followed the Lord. I love him. He loves me. He's a great God. He's my best friend. And I don't get it for people who don't know Jesus. This world is wired in such a way that it causes a lot of troubles and turmoil to us. So without Jesus, without a good shepherd in your life, I just don't get it. Where do you get the faith to survive? Come on. If you are here this morning, put your faith in Jesus. Come and trust him and be saved. He's waiting for you, and he wants to receive you and give you a sense of peace and calmness. I'm telling you the truth, and I'm telling you the truth because the Bible says in Psalms 118, verse 6 to 7, it says, the Lord is on my side. The Lord is on my side. Do you know that God is on your side? He's on your left, he's on your right. He's in front of you, he's in the back of you. He's in your car, he is in your bedroom. He is in your sitting room, he is at your job. He is right here in America as we go through circumstances that look dangerous in the eyes of man. God is with us right here in America, he says. And he says, I will not fear. I choose not to fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. He's not on my side to watch me. Remember your basic Bible doctrine terminology about the doctrine of God. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent, and he is omnipresent. Now, he is not present without power. He's present and powerful. He's not present to watch. He's present, and he walks behind the scenes to help us and to deliver us. And he says, I look in triumph on those who hate me. I look at them in triumph. And my guess is that he's looking at them in faith. He trusts God to help him. He focuses on the power of God rather than the problem. That's what you need. You need to focus on Jesus and on the circumstances. You need to focus on the Savior and on the situation. We have a great Savior. You need to focus on the power, on the redeeming power of God and not the problem. We have a Redeemer. That's the basis of our faith. He says, I choose faith and not fear. Will you choose faith and not fear? Because we have a great God, and this God is with us. Because we are God's children, because we are Christians, because God is with us, we make a choice. And God promises to be with us. Look at his second choice. His second choice, he chooses to embrace the presence of God. Listen at the verse again. The verse says, I fear no evil, for you are with me. God, you are with me. God, you're right here in my presence. Therefore, God, I'm going to embrace your presence. Otherwise, I'm going to calmly put my hand into your hand and trust you to carry me through this crisis moment, through this valley experience. I'll stretch my hand unto you. You are here. You are with me. You have promised to be with me in the valley, and right here in the valley, you've promised me your presence. You've said you are going to be with me. Let me tell you, we serve a God who is forever present. And he is with us, even in the middle of our crisis. I want to quote a very famous Catholic monk by the name of Thomas Merton. I'm one of the most influential Catholic authors of the 20th century. And listen to what he said. He said, God, who is everywhere, never leaves us, yet he seems sometimes to be present, sometimes to be absent. And if we don't know him well, we do not realize that he may be more present to us when he is absent than when he is present. He is with us. That's why our faith is best in his word and not our feelings. You know, some people have to feel God to know that God is here. That's not a problem to me. But let me tell you, sometimes my feelings tell me something different. I have to come back to the word of God and believe what God has said. Let me tell you, the word of God is infallible. The word of God is powerful. The word of God never changes. The word of God is our bread of life. And if we can depend on it every day, we can find peace in God. Listen to what he tells Joshua. He tells Joshua, and he says, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Have I not commanded you? It's like Joshua, in his circumstance, in his new role as a leader of the children of Israel, he was looking at the worker before him, looked at his circumstance and the absence of Moses, and he felt like God is not with me. And God comes and wakes him up. And God says in his word, have I not commanded you? Says, be strong. Be courageous. Church, be strong. Friends, be strong. Be courageous. Face your fears, because our God is with us. And he said, don't be frightened. Don't be dismayed. In other words, don't give up. Don't lose hope. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That is a very comforting scripture to missionaries. God is with you wherever you go. Let me paraphrase Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. I want to base our faith in his word. It says, when you go through deep water, great trouble, I'll be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you'll not be drowned. When you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. You are not going to be drowned. You are not going to be burned up. You are not going to die. God says, I am with you. Every step in the valley, in the crisis, in that near-death experience, I am with you. I'm right there in the valley to walk with you in the valley. You may not feel me right now, but I'm right here with you. God says, I will lead you through the valley. He is a great God. Number three, Dave makes a third choice in his crisis moments. He says, I choose to depend on God's protection and guidance. And look at the verse again. I'll fear no evil. I choose faith. I don't fear. Number two, you're with me. I'm going to embrace your presence and rest to your presence. But number three, he says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm going to depend on God's protection and guidance. David reminds himself that God has a rod and that God has a staff to comfort him. Okay? The rod and the staff were the two basic tools the shepherds used to protect their sheep. So he says, I'm going through difficult times, but you are defending me and you are guiding me at the same time. My dad was the protector of my family. Apart from being a provider, he was my protector. Growing up in Africa those days, we didn't have actual doors on our homes. So basically, it's a piece of a large mat or tin and cattle outside. And then the boys sleep in the living room and the girls sleep in the next room on the other side. And dad in his room and mom, dad on his right-hand side, he had a spear. He's right-handed. So in his right-hand side, right there in the corner, I can still see the spear near his bed. And every time something moved outside, or someone tried in to take our cows, the boys in the living room would be snoring and sleeping, and dad would come and cross over all of us and get outside with his spear to protect us. The presence of dad in the house meant our peace and security. Our faith was in him. Church, let me tell you, we have a father in heaven. He's a big dad. The Bible says, whoever believed in him, we became sons and daughters of our God. And this father of ours, I want to let you know, he doesn't just have a spear, he has a gun. That's the American language, especially the Texan people. He has a gun. He's going to blow up your enemies. He has a gun. He's a powerful God with a gun. And he fights for us. My Father in heaven has a gun. Be careful. He's going to provide and fight for me. So I'll go on and snore and enjoy my sleep and have peace in his presence. Now, he doesn't only protect us. He says that he has a rod, but he also has a staff. In other words, he also provides a way of exit. He guides us. He protects and he also guides us. He guides us out of the crisis. He's a God who opens up doors where there are no doors. He's a God of great and amazing miracles. If you've been a Christian for some time, man, you can tell what God has done and how many doors, exit doors, not entrance doors only, but exit doors for your life, and he has saved you. As I was reading this psalm, I was reminded of Exodus. And I was reminded of the crisis Moses and the children of Israel had at the Red Sea. They had a terrible crisis. Their enemies were coming to destroy them. And before them, there was the Red Sea. Where do you go? How can the children of Israel, who's new military, has just started training, how can they fight the fierce Egyptian military which has been fighting for ages? And the Bible says in Exodus 14, 13 to 14, and Moses said to the people, don't be afraid, choose faith. In this moment of our crisis, choose faith. Stand still. Embrace the presence of God, the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you this day. God is for you. God is not against you for this day. And he says, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you and you will hold your peace. And exactly that's what the Lord did. He fought for them, not only fought for them, he provided an exit out of their crisis. No one knew that there was a way in the middle of the Red Sea. But God, in his eternal mind and knowledge and in his great power, he knew that there would be a path in the middle of the Red Sea. And instantly, God opened up the eyes of the children of Israel, and they followed God's guidance out of the Red Sea to the dry ground. Is our God not a great God? He protects us, but he also guides us. He is with us. As I finish my sermon, I want to finish by Nahum chapter 1, verse 7. And I want to read these verses because I want your faith to be based in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. You are a Bible church. And listen to this. It says, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. God is good all the time. God is good. Even when we don't feel his goodness, he is still a good God. In him there is no evil, and there is no sin, and there is no unrighteousness. He's a perfect God. He is a good Father. The Lord is good. Not only good, some people are good, but they are not strong. I know many, many nice people, but powerless people. They don't know what to do. They are nice but powerless. But the Bible says the Lord is good, a stronghold in the time of trouble. In the time of trouble, he is there with us. He's going to deliver us. He's going to show us his power. He's going to bring deliverance. He's a great God. He's on our side. He loves us. Sometimes we don't understand. We don't feel it. We don't experience it. We are sleeping. And we are terrorized by different fears. But it's our stronghold. And the Bible says, and I love this, he knows those who trust in him. He knows them. That is very personal. He knows those who trust in him. And some of you who are not yet accepted Christ, he wants to know you. He wants to know you, and he can know you through a personal relationship with Christ. And if you have a relationship with Jesus, he knows you. And he says, he knows those who trust in him. Let me tell you, God knows you so much. God knows you more than your doctor knows you. God knows the number of hair on your head. God knows you. Your days are numbered before you. He knows you. The Bible says that you are engraved in the palm of his hands. He knows you. You are well known in the presence of God. And he says he knows those who trust in him. And keep on trusting on him and in him and follow him and love him and choose faith. Choose to embrace His presence and choose to trust in God's protection and guidance in your life. Find peace in Him. This is the big challenge I have with Christians. Sometimes you preach a good message and they just don't get it. They go back the same. It's like they don't capture the spirit of faith and trust in God and be a people of faith. Guys, we want to get it. We want to move out of this place trusting in the living God. We want to move in this place proclaiming that our God is alive, is alive, is well. And in Him, we are more than conquerors. Amen. Amen. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank You for all the good things You do for us. Today we come before You like David. Father, in the middle of the valley of a crisis, Lord, we want to choose faith. We want to choose to embrace Your presence. Lord, we decide to trust You in Your protection and guidance. And Father, in the name of Jesus, help our faith to be strong in You. Build Your church in this land of America. Make Your church unshakable by all the circumstances that attack Your church. Father, strengthen the weak. Cause us to triumph over the enemy. Bless Your pastors and Your leaders and prosper Your work. We thank You and give You praise. But also we lift those who are suffering. We pray for those who have a crisis in their lives. Our Father, You will help them and provide a way out of their crisis. Once again, our God and our Father, we love You and praise You and rejoice in all the great things You do. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to Emmanuel. You can find more resources like this at ibcva.com. Here is a parting word from Pastor Jesse.
If you have any questions about what you heard today, or if you want to learn more about what it means to follow Christ, please visit our church website, ibcva.com. If you're not a member of a local church and you live in the Washington, D.C. area, we'd love to have you worship with us here at Emmanuel. We're located in Northern Virginia, and for more information about when and where we worship, check out our church website. I hope to personally meet you this Sunday after our service. But no matter where you live, it's our hope that everyone who uses this resource is involved in their own local church. Now may God bless you this week as you seek Jesus constantly, serve the Lord faithfully, and share the gospel boldly.